Thank you, Joel. Well, again, it is so good to be here with you guys. I mean, you know, I say that a lot. I've said that through the years. You know, it's great to gather. We're so privileged. You know, we talk about the persecuted church and how they're not able to gather. And we've, experienced some of that here in the recent months. And it's been crazy. Of course, you guys know that. You're living it as long along with myself and my family. And, though is such a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be able to see your faces. It's kind of weird from, we were to celebrate on Easter 25 years as a church. We started in 1995, Easter Sunday morning. So, to celebrate that 25 years of teaching, and all of a sudden I'm facing face-to-face with a camera. You know, that's a little bit intimidating, the camera. Just staring into a camera and trying to, have a normal, Bible study. And what kept me going was picturing your guys' faces on the other side. And, it's truly been an interesting time, and certainly a time of seeking the Lord, a time for many of us of really searching our hearts and seeing what the Lord has. And so we are very, very excited. We do ask that you guys would honor the social distancing. I know afterwards fellowship and everything, and, I mean, the 7-Eleven parking lot is a great place if you guys want to go break all traditions or rules. I can't stop you. Actually, Taco San Pedro is open today. Great Mexican food right over there. So, yeah. So, it is Pentecost Sunday. And here on Pentecost Sunday, we are just praying for our country. As Joel had made reference to, of course, the riots going on, the pandemic that's been happening, and just everything. And it's like, just really praying for our country, praying for, of course, our law enforcement, as they're seeking to navigate these very difficult times, praying for the people, of our great state, of course, of our great nation, praying for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that, whatever view you might have on whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all believers. That's where we come together, and we come together and we pray, and we ask the Lord to touch. And so we're going to do that. Now, I do want to just make something, I think that's probably obvious. We're meeting outside. There's going to be more distractions. Of course, we've got the kids with us, and we're blessed to be able to have the families here, and they're such an integral part of our fellowship. But there will be, at times, a little bit more distractions. We would like to limit those distractions to the best of our abilities, and so we'd ask you guys to be aware of that. Also, as we're studying the Word this morning and stuff's going on, just relax, don't worry about it, and try to stay focused on the Word, because, the enemy wants to use the smallest little things to just get our minds in other places. And in light of that, I want to encourage you guys to turn off your cell phones so that, there's no distractions there this morning. But I just want to spend a few minutes in prayer for our nation, we will be in 1 Thessalonians as we continue our study here this morning. Father, we do just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the body of Christ today. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would wrap, Father, your arms around, Lord, our nation right now. That you would minister, Father, through your Spirit, God, to our leaders, God, to our governing officials, Lord, across this nation, from the highest office of presidency, Lord, down to the lowest office that there is. We pray, God, that you would just bring peace. Father, your Word tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying for the peace of America right now. And Father, we pray for, Lord, our state. God, such a great state, Lord, such a leader in the world, could be its own country, bigger than many countries. Father, we pray that you would, God, just bring your peace. And you, Lord, as you did on that day of Pentecost, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit right now across this land upon, Lord, your people. Right now, and I know many churches are gathering in person today. And Lord, we pray that you would just lay your hand upon them. God, that you would fill us as one body, that we would go out from, Lord, the halls of the church, Lord, from our homes, from our cars, wherever it is that we're listening, and we would go out with the light of Jesus Christ, and that we would shine forth as, Lord, you've called us to, that we would be, Jesus, as you said, blessed are the peacemakers, Lord, that we would be those peacemakers, and you would use us, Father. And God, we just pray, God, for stability to be restored to our nation. God, we pray that, Lord, you would just rid our nation, our world, Father, of this coronavirus. You would put a stop to it, oh God. That you would lay your hand, Lord, upon us and bring healing. We pray for healing, God. Those that are sick right now, we pray for healing, Lord. You would touch their bodies. And God, we pray this morning that you would open your word to us in a very fresh way as, Lord, we get to gather. What a privilege, Lord, for us right now to be here. And so, God, we pray you would open your word in a very, very special way. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray all of these things. Amen. And amen. Well, turning your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we are trying to condense the services a little because of the kids and everything going on. So, you know, this morning I wanted to take verses 13 through 16 here of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, but I think we'll probably only make it through verse 13, though verse 13 is power, power packed. The title of the message this morning is Rightly Receiving the Word of God. Rightly receiving the Word of God. Yes, you heard me right when I said rightly receiving the Word of God. Oftentimes, when we hear the word rightly in the Word of God, we think of that verse that Paul pins there to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he says that we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And how important it is for us to rightly divide the Word of truth, to really understand the context and to really open up. The word rightly divide is a word to split asunder, if you would, if I use the old King James language. It's a word that was used for cutting a straight line for the therefore the tent maker, as of course Paul was a tent maker, taking that very thick leather, that very thick animal skin, and cutting a straight line. It's the word that's used for the farmer, that they're when they're tilling the ground, that they're tilling a straight furrow. It's the idea of really coming to the accurate truth of God's word. And so it's so important for us to do that. Of course, we do that week in and week out. That's what, you know, much of my ministry in life is committed to rightly dividing the word of truth. But you know, if I rightly divide the word of truth, if you rightly divide the word of truth, by the way, we have some amazing, Bible teachers in the day we live. We have so many different helps on the internet, so many great scholars, so much good God has done with the word of God. And there's been a lot of rightly dividing. But if you and I rightly divide the Word of God, but we don't rightly receive the Word of God, all the right dividing of it does nothing. And I think it's an area that's neglected. The idea of my heart in a position ready to receive the Word of God as it's rightly divided. Because we can have all the knowledge, we can know all the truths of the Word of God, but if we don't receive that Word, it will do nothing in our lives. In fact, it will, to some degree, we will find ourselves in a place of deception, that we would be deceived, thinking that, hey, I'm okay because I'm rightly dividing. I'm good because I'm learning about the Lord, because I'm studying the Word, because I'm in a Bible teaching church, because I'm a part of a small group, a life group that, man, we're getting in the Word. But if I'm not receiving that Word in the right way, if my heart isn't in the right position, I'm missing the whole thing. And James says that, by the way, if we're in that place and we're not receiving the Word in the right way, we're self-deceived. And so we want to be very careful as we come to the Word of God each and every time. And we want to kind of examine our hearts here on, the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. One of the main reasons the Holy Spirit is at work in the church is to bring alive the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, and to take the Word of God and use it to change our lives, to transform our lives. And so that's what Paul here is grateful to the Lord for here in as he writes here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read verse 13. He says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now, Paul here is saying, listen, I'm grateful. For this reason, we also thank God. Now, of course, the "we" he's referring to is himself, is Silas and Timothy. If you go back to verse 1 of chapter 1, that's who writes the letter: Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Of course, Paul's writing the letter. Paul's the one that's giving out the truth here, but these men are behind him. These men are in agreement with him. So for this reason, now the phrase here, "for this reason" in the Greek, is looking forward, not looking back. Meaning this, it's not in reference to what came beforehand. It's not the kind of the "therefore we give thanks." It's because of what I'm about to say, it brings us great joy. It brings great thanksgiving. So for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Like, the joy in our hearts is overwhelming. John said this in one of his very little epistles. Of course, John writes the Gospel of John. Then he has 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 2 and 3 John are very little. And then, of course, he's the author of the book of Revelation under the anointing and the revelation he received of the Lord. But in 3 John, and you only use verses when a book doesn't have a chapter, it's just got verses, so we might say one chapter. But in 3 John, verse 4, John says there, that we have no greater joy than to see that our children walk in truth. And there's no greater joy than to see God's people, for the shepherd, for the pastor, for the parent. I mean, you think about it, those of you that are parents, how many of us, our greatest joy, our greatest desire is to see that our children walk with the Lord, right? They can be successful, they can be, wealthy, all those things don't matter to the degree of them walking with the Lord. And so that's true of God's heart. That's true of the Father, and that's reflected in the shepherds. And so Paul here is overwhelmed. I mean, he says here that without ceasing, we're thankful to God for you. And here's why. And like I did last week, I just want to stay state a summary sentence, and from that sentence we'll break down our points this morning. And so the sentence is this: you must rightly receive the Word of God if you want it to rightly affect your life. Again, let me say it. You must rightly receive the Word of God if you want it to rightly affect your life. And so the first thing we're going to look at is the main part of this verse. And we're going to take from that sentence the first phrase, which is, so point one would be, you must rightly receive the Word of God. Number one, you must rightly receive the Word of God, which is taken from this phrase here in verse 13, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of man, and I love how Paul says this, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. He uses the word received, and I read from the New King James, and then he uses, and it's actually another Greek word translated welcomed. Some translations just translate them both received. Oh, they're similar. They're both in that reference of received, but here he's saying to them that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as man's word, not as our word, that's what he's saying, not as the word that the apostles came and gave you, but you reckoned it, you welcomed it in truth as indeed words from the living God. You recognized the proper status of the Word of God. You held it right. You didn't go, oh, here's a new philosophy coming. Now, you got to understand this. In the Greek world, that's what teachers did. They would travel around. It was a very common thing. They would travel around and bring out their different ideas and their different philosophies. Of course, when Paul gets in Acts 17 is where the church at Thessalonica is planted. Well, it is there in that same chapter where Paul gets to the place called Athens. And he comes to Athens, and there it's given over to idolatry, but it's also given over to philosophy. And there's all kinds of different gurus and philosophers and ideas, and so people are always bringing about something new. In fact, that's what they said of Paul. They said, you bring some new strange thing to our ears. Come, and they brought him literally before the court of the philosophers. And there, they kind of put him on trial. We know it as Mars Hill. As Paul then said, I noticed as I traveled through your city, I saw an inscription to the unknown God. I want to tell you who he is. And he began to bring them the gospel. And he started with the pagans, always with the God of creation. With the Jews, he always started with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew his audience well. He understood their thinking. In fact, in that sermon, he quotes some of their own poets. He was schooled in this kind of rhetoric. In fact, when he came there in chapter 18, the very next place he goes is the city of Corinth. And when he comes to Corinth, and he tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, when I came to you, I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. He said, I'm determined to know nothing but the cross. I could yarn on about all kinds of things. I could impress you with my intellect, with my understanding. And Paul was very, very smart. Paul was very, very studied, both in Greek philosophy and in Jewish doctrine. He was trained as a child at the feet of Gamaliel. He was in the schools there of Tarsus of Cilicia. That's where he grew up, and that's where one of the major philosophical centers of the Roman Empire was. And there he was, and he was trained. But he said, hey, I come to you simply. I came to you with a determination to just give you the pure Word of God. And how important that is for us to receive. But listen, he says, this is what we're grateful to the Lord. This is what we are continually, without ceasing, giving thanks to God for. He says, we are thankful to God that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as the Word of God and not the Word of man. Now, how many of us find ourselves this morning as we open the Scriptures in a place of recognizing this is the Word of God. And that we're taking in the Word of God. That we right now are sitting under the teaching, not of Pastor Trent. God forbid that you would have to endure sitting under my ideas, my thoughts. I mean, what vanity. I mean, I'm scared of that. Like, I wouldn't want to listen to that. But to sit under the Word of God and to welcome. See, this is what Paul says here. He says, you guys welcomed it. I love that word. Think about when you welcome someone. Think about what that looks like when you invite someone to come into your home. And you welcome them. And you think about the hospitality that we show. The joy that we have, the warmth that they receive when they come into our home. Think about that. That's powerful. Is that the way we open our hearts to the Word of God? Is that how we're approaching the Word of God? Come in, please. Make yourself at home. What is mine is yours. You know, everything here is yours for the taking. Like, the Word of God, come into my heart. Come into my life. You're welcomed here. You're welcome to do your work, to have your way. Make yourself at home in my life. You see, there's just an embracing, an opening, a desiring for God's Word to penetrate, for God's Word to be at home in our lives. It's interesting, this word welcome is also used, this is where we get the word welcome from the Greek. The same Greek word is used in 1 Thessalonians, or excuse me, in Acts chapter 17. Of course, Acts 17 is where Paul plants the church there of Thessalonica, so it gives us all the background. He flees there from Thessalonica, and he comes to a city called Berea. And in Acts 17, verse 11, many of you are familiar with this verse. It says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if these things were so. The word received the word with all readiness, that word received is the same word that is translated welcome in our text before us. That's such a great verse, of course. Now, think about it, because he leaves Thessalonica, who he's now writing to, the Thessalonians. He comes to the next city, Berea, and he says, these in Berea were more fair-minded. The word fair-minded, by the way, is a word that literally could be translated more open-minded. That's interesting. There was something about the Bereans that they were more engaging, even than those in Thessalonica. What we learn from this text, those in Thessalonica welcomed the Word of God. They were receiving the Word of God. They embraced the Word. So they weren't like, you know, a hard-hearted group. But those in Berea were even more. And what I believe that they were even more in, based on our text that's before us, based on what is said here by Luke in chapter 17 of Acts in verse 11, is that they took it a step farther than just receiving the Word of God, but those in Berea searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And I think that's beautiful. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if this indeed was true and how we need to do that. But I would say this, that I do believe, based on our text before us, based on what Luke is saying in Acts chapter 17, that those in Thessalonica, as those in Berea, here received the Word of God with all readiness. Now that's the phrase I want to hone in on. When we think of Acts 17, 11, we often think of search the Scriptures daily because that's the focus of the passage. But let us understand that what here Paul is referring to in our text this morning, what Luke is referring to is that they received the Word of God, they welcomed the Word of God with all readiness. The word readiness is the word for eager. The word readiness is the word, of course, the idea of ready is prepared. They received the Word with prepared hearts. And I just want us to think about this. You know, the first Sunday that we're able to gather back together, I was thinking through this, and you know, I just really sense the Lord put this word on my heart for us. Is that as we come back, you know, we come back together from, you know, a time of this quarantine, a time of being separated, a time of not being able to gather. And I pray that through this time, you've been seeking the Lord. I pray that, you know, and I know this, if you've been seeking the Lord, God's been speaking to you. And there's some things in your life that you probably are adjusting. Things that you're recognizing, that things even about yourself. You know, you learn a lot about yourself when you have to live with yourself for so long with no one else around. Or you learn a lot about your family or your marriage or whatever it might be. And for those of us that, you know, are busy in our careers and working, and for those of us that haven't been able to work, I mean, there's a lot we learn. Like, what are my priorities? What is life really all about? And of course, the Word of God has answers. Of course, they've always been there. But just a time to kind of reflect. And my prayer for us is that we would enter back into fellowship with other believers, gathering together as the body. And as we do that, we would do it with a different heart than the way we left. And so I challenge you this morning. I encourage you, and of course, if you're here in the courtyard with us, or if you're listening in the parking lot, or if you're at home, of course, this applies to all of us. As we prepare our hearts to come back together as the church to gather, let's not just come back like we left. Let's let the Holy Spirit here on Pentecost do a fresh outpouring, do a fresh work. Let's let Him have His way. And we find ourselves, of course, based on really God's sovereignty. It's not like I outline a book that I'm teaching. Like, you guys know me. Those of you who've been around know that that's impossible. Like I say, oh, you know, on this date, Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that you do that. For those of us that are believers, will we ask God today on Pentecost Sunday to do a revival in our hearts? The Word of God would become life. Maybe it's been in the past and it's died out. That it would become life again, that we become thirsty for His Word in a fresh and a new way. Let's pray, and we're gonna close today in a song. So I'm going to invite up the worship team. Father, we just thank You so much, God, for Your grace. And God, we just ask that You would indeed pour out, Lord, Your Holy Spirit, like You did there in Acts 2, on us afresh, that You would meet us, that You would touch us. Just pray, God, that You would be in our midst, that You would do Your work and have Your way. We thank You, Father, and we praise You. Thank You for letting us worship. Heal our land, we ask, of this virus and of violence. Heal our land, O God, of, Lord, injustice. Heal our land, O God. And we know the only thing that's going to heal our land is when My people who are called by My name, You said, will humble themselves and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, that You would hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so that's our cry today, Lord, as we humble ourselves, we turn to Your Word, we pray, God, that You would stay Your hand of judgment and that You would do revival. One more, Father, before You come, one more outpouring, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand, and we're just going to close in a song.